SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 18th of April, 2024. The Australian share market rose 0.5% today. We'll get the details with Ben Richards from Seneca Financial Solutions. But first, to the economy, where Australia's jobless rate rose from 3.7% to 3.8% in March. Employment fell by 6,600, but that was driven by a big fall in part-time jobs. Full-time work actually rose. To make sense of the numbers and what it means for interest rates, I spoke with Blair Chapman, a senior economist at ANZ.
I think today's numbers show that the labour market's continuing to slow. So it has been a bumpy couple of months, a big decline in January, a big reversal in February, and then we saw employment decline again this month. And really, if you look through all of that, we're seeing employment growth slow and the unemployment rate is just drifting up as it has been for almost a year and a half now.
The ABS itself has said that these numbers show that the market is still relatively tight, right? What specifically in there suggests that the market, that you see further weakening to come and a continued rise in that unemployment rate?
Yeah, so I think anecdotally we've heard reports of businesses letting people go and making them redundant. So if you look at the big consulting firms, there's news of them letting people go. So they went a big hiring spree coming out of COVID and they seem to be pulling back a little. So there's that anecdotal evidence. But then we also sort of look at broader economic activity data. So looking at GDP over the last quarter or so, it was quite weak at the back end of 2023. And then we're thinking it's going to be weak for the first quarter or two this year as well. So, you know, in fact, economic activity is weak. That sort of generally translates into a weaker labour market as well.
So where do you see the unemployment rate go?
The unemployment rate is still sort of a benchmark that everyone looks at, and we are looking at it and we're expecting it to drift up to sort of mid-fours over the next year or so. But we have here at ANZ been looking at what we call FTE pop. So it's an indicator of basically how many hours are being worked as a share of the entire population's available hours. And we've really seen that come down quite sharply over the last sort of year or so. Recently, we've seen a little bit of bump in it with hours growth in February and March, but it's really showing that the labour market's slowing much faster than that sort of unemployment rate would suggest.
So what does this all likely mean for the RBA when it comes to discussing the next move in interest rates?
Yeah, so obviously we've got inflation next week and they've got a keen eye on that. And, you know, it's likely to be above the band, you know, around 3.5 year on year is what we're expecting. RBA will be conscious of that. But when it comes to the labour market, they're looking for an unemployment rate sort of between 4% and 5%. So the RBA governor, Michelle Bullock, recently said that that's where they think full employment is. At sort of between four and five. They're not forecasting the economy to get there until sort of the end of the year. Right now, we're below that 4%. And so it means the labour market's still sort of on that inflationary side of where the RBA would be comfortable.
And what are you guys forecasting in terms of the next rate cut, when it would happen?
Yeah, so we think the RBA is going to be cutting in November. Today's data sort of didn't shift that. You know, the data was neither too weak nor too strong to really move our view either way.
Blair Chapman there from ANZ.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.5% to 7,642. For more, I spoke with Ben Richards, an investment analyst at Seneca Financial Solutions.
Yeah, a bit of a relief rally. It's been a bit weak over this week. On Tuesday, the US was down, Australian market was down 2%, and also some good economic data out today on the Australian unemployment rate was 3.8%, slightly better than expectations of 3.9%.
Yeah, so is that jobs data changing the market's view for when the RBA will eventually start cutting interest rates?
Yeah, the RBA's indicative forecast was for an unemployment rate of 4.2% by 30 June and 4.3% by year's end. So it looks like it's running slightly below that, but it is just one of a number of factors, including the CPI data, to determine the level of inflation and interest rate expectations. So it's a bit of a game of cat and mouse. Potentially it'll be rate cuts a bit later than investors are expecting. As you know, recently as last month, investors were pricing in 2 rate cuts by the end of 2024. So that might look a bit optimistic, but you know, that seems to be the direction of the interest rates at the moment still.
I'd love to spend a bit of time on iron ore, because I've noticed the iron ore miners are doing well today. But an interesting note from the RBA, also warning today in its bulletin released that overall steel demand in China could weigh on global demand for iron ore and its price, and that demand may have peaked. So in the scheme of things, what is this for the miners, if anything, right now?
Yeah, so the iron ore price has come off from about $130 a tonne to about $100 a tonne over the first quarter of 2024. It has rallied a bit since then. In April, it's up to about 107, so it's up 7%. And, you know, it's always a question of China demand. There's always uncertainty. Historically, the government budget has been a fairly poor predictor of the direction of iron ore prices, tending to err on the side of conservatism. So it surprises positively when it stays up. And, you know, the reality is that the big iron ore miners, Fortescue, BHP and Rio, still make excellent profit margins at current iron ore prices. So we see no reason for too great a concern there. The other bit of data was China GDP came out the other day. It was 5.3% up, which was significantly ahead of market expectations of 4.6% for what that's worth. So, look, the Chinese economy seems to be holding up pretty well. And yeah, the iron ore miners continue to go along just fine.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities at the moment for investors?
Yeah, the market's run pretty hard over the last 5 or 6 months. And you know, the big caps in particular have benefited from that market rise. We've been rotating out of some of these expensive defensives, so to speak, particularly the banks at sort of 5-year highs, into kind of more value, small cap names. There's lots of corporate activity in small caps. We benefited from one, MMA Offshore. So that's a mining services provider. It's up almost 100% since October last year. And elsewhere, we think there's sort of pockets of opportunity in the property sector, real estate investment trusts. Goodman Group has been a big beneficiary of the tailwinds of industrial property for us. Charter Hall looks another one that's potentially oversold, and also PEX are the digital property conveyancing platform. So, look, we think there's always opportunities in the market, regardless of the direction of the ASX 200 over the next 12 months.
That is Ben Richards there from Seneca Financial Solutions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.